This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When NASA announced evidence of liquid water on Mars last fall, geeks around the globe celebrated. Over in Mountain View, California, Google celebrated its way with a doodle. You know Google Doodles. Every once in a while, Google gussies up its homepage logo. Well, on September 29th, the second O in Google was turned into a big smiley-faced Mars sipping water through a straw. It wasn't the first time a Google Doodle celebrated a scientific achievement or science hero or heroine. If you keep an eye on the Google homepage, you know those doodles get geeky. But how does a doodle get made? Giving us a peek behind the scenes is illustrator and Google Doodle team leader Ryan Germick. We should note that Google is an occasional underwriter of Science Friday. Ryan joins us today from Stanford. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us how that Mars water doodle came together. You had to put together that pretty quickly, I understand.
That's just a case of trying to be aware of what's going on in the world, or in this case, in the solar system. And the news broke, and I think around maybe 10 a.m., I sent an email to my team soliciting concepts for what would be a fun way to celebrate. And when a sketch came back for that, it made everybody laugh. And a few hours later, it's alive around the world.
Are science advances, planetary or otherwise, a good material for Google Doodles?
I think so, for sure. I mean, as a tech company, you know, one of the things that's sort of core to our, you know, interests is technological advances and things to celebrate that we have, as a humankind, have achieved. And discovering that was definitely something that we were curious about. And
yeah,
we
wanted but you also celebrate people of science and math and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we like to just take the opportunity to, like, in a way, thank people for coming to the homepage and to share things that we're really excited about. And as your intro said, there's one or two geeks at Google who get excited about things like this.
So is the nerdiness of Google Doodles really just a reflection of the nerdiness of Google employees?
Yeah, for sure. If you walked around a cafeteria at lunchtime, you'd hear some pretty interesting things.
some of the doodles are static illustrations. I say most of them are, but some of them get really intricate. Talk about the Wilbur Scoville doodle that went up this year. Who was Wilbur Scoville?
Yeah, he's maybe a lesser-known hero of science who discovered or created the Scoville scale, which is a way to talk about the spiciness of a pepper. And this was one where we thought we could have a little more fun with. And to illustrate the concept of spiciness of a pepper, we created a little game where inside the mouth of Wilbur Scoville, you were battling it out between an ice cream cone and a pepper. And the spicier the pepper, the hotter, higher on the Scoville scale, the more difficult it was to defeat the pepper with your ice cream scoops.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty hard game. You know, it gets harder the more you play it. The little further you get, as in a game, it gets more difficult to get that pepper.
Well, just like, eating a ghost pepper might be, you know, it takes great skill to, or at least great tolerance to master this.
So why did you make a fighting style game out of it? Why did you choose that?
We thought it, you know, like we try to keep doodles fun and lighthearted. And at the same time, we like to celebrate in different, you know, with different types of game mechanics to keep people interested in the topic and to sort of explore the creative side of the topic. And we're not likely to ever make a fighting game where we're actually inflicting harm on anyone. But we thought the natural enemies of ice cream and mm-hmm. spicy peppers would be a good duel to put out there.
Yeah. How far back do doodles go?
Doodles go back to before the company was even incorporated. So the first Google Doodle was for the Burning Man Festival in the summer of 1998, and it was a few weeks before the founders even got around to finishing the paperwork for incorporation.
Wow, and then they've been every month since then? How many have you had?
I think it's approaching 4,000, actually.
4,000?
Over about almost 18 years.
Wow, a few years ago, you guys got called out. The advocacy group Spark reported that between 2010 to 2013, 62% of people celebrated in doodles were white men. How did your team turn that statistic around?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great wake-up call. There was some folks who care about doodles, which was really wonderful, and to get feedback that, you know, we weren't representing as well as we could our audience, which is really everybody. And so taking that feedback to heart, you know, we just tried a little harder to stray away from just like, you know, the top 100 list or whatnot of any given type of accomplishment, and really started to find incredible lives from all walks of life. And with that in mind, like, we'd be able to find some really, really surprising and really, really special people that have been exciting to learn about and to highlight on our homepage.
Let me bring up one of them, one of your favorite doodles that features a woman known as the human computer. Tell us about who that doodle is.
Yeah, there was a doodle we did. It originated, the idea came from our team in India. And Shankuntala Devi was an educator and advocate for math education who had an amazing ability with numbers and could do things like tell you what day of the week, you know, March 17th, 1427 was, like, you know, faster than you could possibly look it up in a calculator, even in a computer. And with that incredible skill for numbers, she used it to inspire people to become more interested in math. She also was just a really wonderful person, a really thoughtful person about matters of inclusion. Even in the 70s, wrote a book about supporting LGBTQ rights in India, and was quite ahead of her time in that sense. And the doodle kind of lent itself to a really fun visual execution, which was to sort of illustrate her, as a feature of a calculator. So basically, the word Google gets spelled in like you might when a calculator is upside down. And then a little portrait of her pops up, kind of like a little special bonus right there on the LCD screen.
Yeah. Do you get satisfaction about the impact you have, especially when you doodle someone like her? I mean, a lot of people saw that, didn't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the fact that we could, you know, we take great responsibility and pride in the, you know, in the opportunity to sort of put a spotlight on something. We actually often say we're more NPR than we are MTV, in the sense that, you know, we really are trying to highlight things that we think will enrich people's lives and be something that would be wonderful to know about, to learn about. Yeah. And it's incredibly gratifying that someone like her could be exposed more widely because she did incredible things and had a life really worth celebrating.
One of the most fun and doodles that I saw, and we have all the doodles we're talking about on our website at sciencefriday.com/doodle, or a bunch of them up there. Annie Minoff put them up there. One of the more fun ones is the one celebrating Robert Moog. How did that one work?
That was also another personal favorite. Like, I just grew up loving music and particularly, like, maybe nerdy music. So, like, the sort of synthesis of technology and art that, like, the synthesizer puts together is really fantastic. And Robert Moog is more or less a patron saint of the nerdy arts.
Right.
The way that he empowered people through the science of sound to create interesting and weird and beautiful music. And, but when we made that, it was just that there was an opportunity to sort of play Robert Moog for a day where we could create an instrument inspired by his work and let users on a massive scale play music, or at least make interesting sounds and share it.
And that's cool. That's a cool one. But I think Google's geekiest doodle might be the one you guys made for computer pioneer Alan Turing.
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, his concepts or his contributions were numerous. You know, there's been movies made about him and everything, and the way that he contributed to cracking codes in World War II and saving just countless lives. But his concepts were somewhat abstract. So, you know, we used his birthday as an opportunity to create like a puzzle game where you'd have to essentially use the fundamentals of computer science yourself, with like if statements and things like that, to solve a puzzle. And the hope is that millions and millions of people will actually be exploring the concepts of computer science without even necessarily knowing it, just because it's a fun thing to do on the homepage, and then hopefully learn about his incredible life, because he's someone who is quite inspiring and is definitely worth learning about.
What's the decision process like to do a doodle? I mean, you must have a million ideas getting thrown at you and coming up with yourself. How do you narrow it down? I know we have trouble just deciding what stories to do every week here. And then what happens to the ones that you don't use?
Well, ideas are never the problem. Like you say, there's tons of ideas that come through. The thing that's really great is that, you know, doodles have this air of spontaneity where you kind of never know what you're going to get. So we are able to sort of play with that idea and just try to keep a variety that keeps the people that come to the Google homepage or use a Google app to, you know, shake it up a little bit and surprise them. And so what we do is we actually just have a huge list, like you said, and really it's once a year we go through this process where we try to plan out the entire next year, and we'll look at hundreds or in some cases thousands of ideas and try to divvy them up across different countries. The majority of doodles we do are actually not seen in the U.S., they're actually international, and try to create some sort of system where we can, you know, have some that are interactive, some that are animated. Just again, that variety where you just never know what you're going to get, to have that spontaneity and surprise come to you when you wake up and try to log on to Google for the first time in the day.
Do you find your ideas or your technology, your technique evolving over time? Like if you look back at the old doodles, they're not half as good as the new ones, or quite different, or and
yeah,
who knows,
I mean,
what will happen next day?
That's also exciting because we're on a technology platform that keeps changing. So, you know, I started almost 10 years ago working at Google, and back then, like, doing some kind of interactive game on a mobile phone would have been bonkers. But now we're looking for the opportunities that new technology and new platforms make available. And really, it's ultimately about, like, how can we connect with the folks that use Google to give them a little human touch in their day and something that hopefully inspires curiosity.
With so many people on mobile platforms, do you have to craft it so you can see it on a smaller device?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that's a you know, we always in any creative situation look for the constraints and try to find the best way to execute something that's going to be an enjoyable experience. So mobile devices are both a constraint but also an opportunity, because also everyone's got this super computer in their pocket.
Yeah.
So the availability to reach people becomes much greater.
Now, you said a great many of your doodles are not seen by Americans. How can we go see them? I mean, you just log on to a different country somehow, or?
You could do that, or you can actually also go to, we have a website where we collect all many thousands of doodles, and you can even go back and play the games and watch animations at google.com/doodles.
Yeah, we have that up there on our website also. This is, thank you, Ryan, for taking time to be with us today.
It's our pleasure. It's a great privilege to be able to share things with the world and have them play with them. And I'm glad that we share our love for science and technology.
Well, we have our own 25th anniversary coming up in October. Maybe we can talk you into doing a doodle for us.
I'll put it on the list.
Thanks a lot. Ryan Germick is the leader of the Google Doodle team, and he joined us from Stanford.